Ecclesiastes chapter 4. This is Solomon in all his sort of depression and giving up his faith. I looked again, he said, at all the injustice that is going on in the world. There were people weeping and crying because they were being oppressed and nobody would help them. Nobody helped them because power was on the side of their oppressors. Well, wait a minute, Solomon. When Solomon died, people came to him and complained and said, "We were whipped by your father." Sorry, when he died, they came to his son, Rehoboam, and said, "We were whipped by your father. We were oppressed by him." And Rehoboam says, "Yeah, sure you were, and I'm going to be even worse." There's Solomon saying, "Oh, isn't it a shame, all the injustice that goes on in this world?" And yet he's actually doing it to himself, to the people. So he's really, you know, he knows all this truth on one level, but on another, he's a hypocrite. So he said, "I'm jealous of those who are already dead. They're better off than those who are still alive. But even better than either of them is the person who's never been born and who never will come into the world to see all the injustice that goes on here." Well, that's a pathetic attitude, because your life is the greatest blessing that you've got. People mope and complain, "Oh, my life's so bad. Oh, I haven't got this. Oh, I haven't got that." Yeah, but you've got life. And you can give your life to God. And then when Jesus comes back, you will live forever. So to complain and mope around that, "Oh, life's not worth living. Oh, it's better to have never even existed." This is a terrible attitude to have. Even though in depression we might have that attitude, this is a bad attitude to have. Because if we've been given life, then no matter how things go wrong in life, we have been given life and we can use that for God. "It is better," he said, "to have only a little with peace of mind than to be concerned all the time with all the worries that go with trying to catch the wind." So there he was, very rich, very wealthy, but then if you're wealthy, you've got to worry about all your different things. He had animals, he had all sorts of different parks and gardens, we read that he'd made. He had various houses, palaces, temples, lots of servants, 1,000 wives, loads of kids, presumably. Well, with all that, there's lots of things to worry about. And he, too late, he finds the truth, which is that it's better to not have very much, but to have peace with God. Then he says, "I have also realized something that is very vain in life. There's a man who lives on his own, without any son, any brother. Yet he's always working hard and he's never satisfied with what wealth he has. Why is he working so hard and denying himself pleasure? This is foolish and useless and miserable way to live." In other words, the man's going to build up all these things and he's got nobody to leave them to. And this is really what Jesus was talking about when he spoke about the rich fool who dies alone. And he says, "And whose shall it be when he's dead?" So Jesus read these words and saw the truth in part of them. Then he goes on, "Solomon, two are better than one, because together they can work more effectively. If one of them falls over, the other can help him up. But if a man is alone and falls over, there is nobody to help him to get up. If it's cold, two can sleep together and stay warm. But how can you keep warm alone? Two men can resist an attack, whereas one man alone couldn't do so. A threefold cord is not easily broken. One man arises from poverty and becomes ruler of his land. Another rises from prison to the throne, a bit like Joseph did. But if in his old age he refuses to take advice, then he is a fool. He's not as well off as a young man who is poor but wise." Well, this is exactly Solomon, the old and foolish king who refused to be admonished. So he can see what is his problem, but he does not want to do anything about it. "I thought about all those that live in this world, and I realized that somewhere there must be a young person who's going to replace the king. But will he be wise or will he be foolish? And nobody will be grateful for what the king has done. It is all a chasing after the wind." So there he is thinking about his own death, and he's obviously not sure whether Rehoboam, his son, is going to be wise or not, whether he's going to waste all that Solomon had built up and left him or not. Whereas if we are thinking about the kingdom, we are not so worried about whether we've got children. A lot of people these days don't have children at all. And we're not so worried about what's going to happen after we're dead, because we know in the end what will happen, that we shall be unconscious, and whether our children are richer than us or poorer than us is neither here nor there, because the essence, the only important thing, is that we are with the Lord Jesus, and we will be resurrected and live forever together in God's kingdom on earth forever, when there'll be no longer concerns about being wealthy or poor or whatever. All that will be no more. So that's what's important. And if only we can have that perspective, then all this worry about all what's going to happen in my family after I'm dead, who's going to get the house, who's going to get the car, who's going to get the bank account, how am I going to split it up, what happens if this one is foolish or that one is wiser than the others, all that is, yes, it's a surface level, I suppose, thought that we all have, but in the end, the real family life is the hope of living forever together in God's kingdom when Jesus comes back.